through all of that, I feel like an old guy. And then I realize I am. Oh, no, I tell you. By the way, if it's a red vehicle in front of a fire hydrant, just might be a fire truck. I just thought about that for just. Congratulations is the first thing you want to say when there's a celebration like this. 40 years. Congratulations. It's tremendous. It's a gift that has been provided to this community, but also that has been provided to you from the Lord. So, on behalf of myself and my colleagues Jim Leverett and Andrea Schroth at the ABA office, but also with the whole Leadership Council sending their regards and their congratulations, what we really want to say is to God be the glory in all of that, right? And I know let's give him the hand for sure. We understand that as God's people. This isn't about us. It's about the one we were just singing about who is the center, isn't it? It is the one we're speaking with just moments ago as we were praying together. Thank you for leading us, Dr. Dieter. It's about the one who has called us, created us, called us, redeemed us, and set us free, and then commissioned us to be the church. And oh, what a tremendous privilege that is. And what a joy it is for me to be part of this celebration. I just want to keep going. I think we could do this all day, Pastor. You know, I think we should probably think about it. But then another 40 years will go by and you'll say, I'm hungry by then, you know. If you notice in your own lives that as you get older, some of us who are a little older, that as my dad used to say, the toboggan just gets faster and faster down the hill it gets steeper as the years go by. And some of you who are younger, you'll discover that as time goes on. But 40 years is a long time, but it just is a bit of a blink too, isn't it? 40 years ago. Now, inside your bulletin, the second last page, you'll see some interesting things that happened 40 years ago in our world. As it says in there, there were about 4 billion-ish people in the world versus the 7 billion-ish now. Population of Canada is 23 million and change. Population of Alberta was 1.8 million. Edmonton had 461,000 people, and St. Albert had 23,905 people. If my family moved in, it would be over 24,000. It just got bigger, I can tell you. The Prime Minister of Canada then was Prime Minister Trudeau. The Premier of Alberta was Peter Lougheed. The Mayor of St. Albert was Richard Plain, and the Mayor of Edmonton was Terry Cavanaugh. The Summer Olympics were in Montreal. The Winter Olympics were in Innsbruck, Austria. The CN Tower in Toronto was completed and became the tallest freestanding structure in the world. There was a little computer company that got started named Apple. The Concorde jet cut across the transatlantic in 3.5 hours. NASA unveiled its first space shuttle, the U.S. Enterprise. Sounds like something out of space. And the most important thing of all is the Tinbit was introduced in 1976, 40 years ago. The average cost of a new house 40 years ago was about $42,000. The average wages were about $15,500. The average cost of a new mid-sized car was $3,200, and a liter of gasoline was 20 cents. 40 years ago, among the North American Baptists, the total number of churches was 352. The total number of members in the NAB conference was 57,034. Total number of baptisms in the conference in that year was 2,031, and the total per capita giving was $303 per year per person. For the record, 40 years ago, I was 22 years old. Pastor Tom was sitting among the children hearing the story 40 years ago at that time. A lot of things change in 40 years. I only have to look to be convinced about that. And of course, a lot of things can happen in 40 years, right? Happy things, hard things, strong things and stressful things, exciting things and exhausting things. But 40 years ago, something must have been stirring in this region, an excitement, a growing anticipation, the Spirit of God, really, stirring a vision among a group of Jesus' people to be a community of faith so as to impact a community with faith. 40 years ago, something must have been happening in the kingdom of God because here we are today. That is why it is good and right for us to be doing exactly what we are doing today, for us to be celebrating. In fact, I've said for many years already, we as God's people just do not do enough celebrating. Something we should do every day, but this is a great occasion. 40 years ago, Sturgeon Valley began its existence, and I want us to consider just how many people have been introduced to Jesus as a result. I want us to consider how many people, as a result, have chosen to follow Jesus more intimately, personally, strongly. How many people have felt the waters of baptism and the transforming power of His Holy Spirit wash over their surrendered lives? How many people have been schooled in what it means to live justly, walk humbly, love mercy with our Lord? What does it mean over these last 40 years? How many times has the truth of God's Word been taught in this faith community? In Sunday morning services like this, in Sunday school classes, on Wednesday evening Bible studies perhaps, or in home groups, or special meetings among children and youth and parents and seniors, variety of clubs and groups and events in the past 40 years, consider how much money has been raised to strengthen the work of the kingdom of God, to facilitate ministry in this community, in the neighborhoods around where you, many of you, live even now. How much has been raised to enable specially called leaders to serve in faraway places, in unusual circumstances, and in difficult environments in the past 40 years. Think about how many widows have been comforted, how many orphans have experienced family, how many foreigners, immigrants, refugees have been found with a home, how many strangers have been embraced. In the past 40 years, think about how many prayers have been lifted up, how many songs of praise, words of adoration have echoed through the heavenlies, through the community of faith called Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church. There's reason to celebrate. There's no doubt. It's a good and right thing for us to celebrate. But of course, as I said moments ago, we know that we're not here in that celebration to applaud Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church. You have not come here for that purpose. I know that. To offer some kind of proverbial pat on the corporate back of this church. Great job. That's not the point. Naturally, we should feel great about this day and about all that has brought these 40 years into fruition for what's happening right now. But ultimately, celebrating us isn't the point. That only amounts to veiled humanism. So as God's people, we know that we are really here to celebrate the Lord, specifically to celebrate God's faithfulness, right? Because for 40 years, Sturgeon Valley has been building on the faithfulness of God. For over four decades now, Sturgeon Valley has not been building on the resourcefulness of its committed people, though this church has committed people. It has not been building on the strategic prowess of its effective leadership, although leadership has always been effective here. It's not built upon the crispness of it is built upon the crispness of its challenging vision, though the vision at times can be more challenging than what we expect. Since its inception in 1976, this church is what it is, and I want to say this so clearly. This church is what it is because of who God is, right? But to say that is to neither be self-effacing nor granting permission to abdicate. Well, it's what God does, not about us, you know. In fact, all of Scripture reminds us that we as His people, We have always been created to be in a personal, intimate relationship with our Creator, that we are part of a divine romance. And as such, we as God's people have been entrusted with incredible treasures in these earthen vessels, crackpots though they may be. We've been entrusted with His love. We've been entrusted with His uncompromising forgiveness. We've been entrusted with His abundant life, free and full. We've been entrusted with the wonder of His indwelling presence. We've been entrusted with the fruits of His Spirit to facilitate how we live, and the gifts of His Spirit to facilitate how we serve. We've been entrusted with the great commandment compelling us to love, and with the great commission challenging us to multiply, to make disciples. We've been entrusted with each other, the church, the fellowship of saints, to work hard together in spite of how we sometimes even may feel about one another, and to keep us accountable. And of course, to whom much has been given, much has been entrusted, much is required. It almost goes without saying, but let me say it, that it remains for us as His people to be responsible. But just as important in that it remains for us as His people to be expectant, on the edges of our seat, alert, preparedly hopeful, yet again, not for what we can humanly orchestrate, but for what He desires yet to accomplish. Friends, brothers and sisters, knowing what our Lord has faithfully accomplished in the past, building on His faithfulness, it is ours to consider what He has yet in store. It is ours to work with Him into the future, into the days and weeks and years ahead, to soak in great expectation. This morning, as we celebrate God's faithfulness while looking ahead to what's next, almost immediately a song begins to play in my mind as I was preparing for this. A song, a classic hymn of faith, written in 1714 by Isaac Watts, because the lyrics of this historic song have a particular pertinence for a day just like this. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, under the shadow of Thy throne, still may we dwell secure, sufficient in Thine arm alone. And our defense is sure, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Isaac Watts wrote this hymn based on Psalm 90. Appreciate that the prayer we were sharing in was opened with the reading of Psalm 71. Psalm 90 is part of a poetic collection of psalms that Isaac Watts prepared, including the song Joy to the World based on Psalm 98 and Jesus Shall Reign based on Psalm 72. But what you may or may not know is that the psalm of O God, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come is based on Psalm 90, which is really a prayer of Moses, really the only prayer of Moses that we find in the Psalms. In particular, this prayer soberly reflects upon the passage of time, how quickly our lives as human beings slip by. As he opens this psalm, Moses proclaims and confesses to the Lord, O Lord, 1,000 years are but as yesterday to You. To You, O Lord, they're like a single hour. We glide along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river and vanish as quickly as a dream. We are like grass that's green in the morning, but mowed down and withered before the evening shadows fall. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. In this Psalm 90, Moses is certainly reflecting upon the fragile, even fickle nature of the human condition. But the primary thrust of Moses' prayer is to focus upon the immutable, unchanging nature of the divine intention. In the reality of the human condition, that God is who he always has been, intentionally relational. That's his intention, relational. And the wonder of wonders, we as his human creation have always been the beneficiaries of his intentional passion to relate. He loves to relate with us. Listen to how Psalm 90 bursts upon this understanding with a sense of almost incredulous wonder at the beginning of the psalm, when like an explosive downbeat of a dramatic musical score, Moses proclaims in verses 1 and 2, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations." Even more clearly, "Lord, you, through all generations, you have been our home." Not "you have given us a home," but "you have been our home." "Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Most literally, from the beginning of time to the end of time, you are God. From vanishing point to vanishing point, you are God. And more clearly in the Hebrew, from vanishing point to vanishing point, you are our God, is what the psalmist is saying, what Moses is saying in the Psalms. "O God, our help in ages past, we do celebrate your faithfulness. All that we are, everything we have, anything we've done is built upon your faithfulness, O God." This community of faith which we are celebrating, called Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church, the ministries which you share, the transformations which you have seen unfold over 40 years, the facilities wherein we worship at this moment, all of that which we now call Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church is built upon the faithfulness of our God. O God, our help, in ages past, you have been faithful. You have been good. And that's precisely why you are also our hope for years to come. That's why we join with Moses transitioning in this psalm from exultant proclamation at the beginning of Psalm 90 to expectant petition at the end of Psalm 90, praying, "O Lord, satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love. You have been faithful. You are God. You created us. We can count on you forever and ever from vanishing point to vanishing point. So, O Lord, we pray, satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Let us, your servants, see your work again." Did you hear that? Let us see your work again. Let our children see your glory, O Lord. And may your beauty, O Lord our God, rest on us and make our efforts successful. Yes, please make our efforts successful. Lord, with you we have great expectations. O God, our help in ages past, you are our hope for years to come. This is a day of celebration. This day marks an important milestone in the life and ministries of this church as we look back in awe of God's uncompromising faithfulness, sometimes in spite of us. But then as we look ahead in hope of his incredible things to come. So what next? Specifically, how do we get ready for what next? For the things to come? For what we're hoping the Lord will yet do? Well, the scriptures record a whole number of similar celebrations among the people of God. But there is one I want us to just take a quick look at. And that is what we find a celebration captured in Joshua chapter 4, where we read that right after the Lord miraculously backed up the waters of the Jordan so his people could move forward into the promised land, so that they could step where they had never stepped before, so they could embark with confidence upon a new chapter in their ongoing journey with the Lord. Right after that, Joshua instructed the people to pause. He said, "Pause and build a memorial of this incredible event. Take time so as to celebrate God's faithfulness," saying, "In the future, when your descendants ask you, 'What do these stones mean? What do these bricks and mortar stand for?' tell them, 'He, the Lord your God, did this. Why? So that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Oh, there can be no doubt that when the people of God are on the move, certainly they must, as is happening today, look back in celebration of our Lord. But listen, just as certainly, they must look ahead in consecration to our Lord. It's really essential for us to discover what we read just one chapter earlier in Joshua 3, verse 5, that before Joshua and the people of God ever touched their toes into the River Jordan, before Joshua and the people of God stepped towards what they were hoping for, the promised land, Joshua pulled the people aside before any of that happened and instructed them with these words, saying, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Do you believe that? That's what happens whenever God's people, with bated breath, pause and consecrate themselves in anticipation of what is next. In truly prophetic fashion, Joshua was saying, if you want to see something amazing, if you want to be part of something absolutely off the charts in terms of what you will celebrate, then consecrate yourselves. What does that mean? It means set your lives apart from the ordinary. Be pure and holy as God Himself is holy, which of course has all sorts of implications, because to consecrate ourselves may mean that we just have to lift our eyes off the treadmills of our day-to-day and look again with clear vision about where Jesus is moving, that we look specifically to the center, to Jesus, to His passion, His agenda, to what He wants accomplished. To consecrate ourselves may mean that we light that lamp of God's word to us to cut through the dark places of our lives. Those things that we just want to keep putting on the back burner and just put them up on the front burner and let the light shine and let this be settled once and for all, to cut through those dark places, that we will open the shutters of our hearts and let the brightened light of God's glory lighten up the shadowed places of our hurts and our doubts and our fears and our sins, and then that we, after that, choose to deal with it, admit it, confess it, and become accountable to someone about it, so that we can wake up tomorrow to a new day, a new beginning, new possibilities, to the miraculous, to the amazing things that our Lord yet wants to do. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, Joshua says. Consecrate yourselves. Get yourselves in a place of readiness, of cleanliness, of holiness, of expectedness. For tomorrow the Lord might do amazing things among you. No, that's not what it says. Tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Do you believe that? In a day where it is truly reflecting more concern and anxiety and fear and doubt and reason to recluse, in a day like we are living, where we know way more than we ever really want to know, an information age where with the truth of the Proverbs come to our fullness of understanding, it is a difficult thing to know so much. In much knowledge is much grief, the writer of Proverbs says. Do you know about some of that grief? I sure do. But in a day such as this, this is our opportunity to listen to where the Lord is leading us and follow Him intently, to consecrate ourselves, be ready to step in the fullness of what it means to be living in the image of God as we are made in His image, to be choosers, to be deliberately intentional relationally and deliberately intentional to obey Him, follow Him. Do you expect some amazing things from the Lord, is what this passage is begging us to ask of ourselves. What astounding things do you think God wants to do yet in your life as individuals, but in the life of this church and through this church, for this city, for this province, for this world, in the days that we are living in, for as long as He grants us breath on this planet? Are you hopeful? Are you hopeful? Are you praying? Are you looking for the miracle tomorrow? When things begin with consecration, they inevitably end with celebration. When first we look within, we invariably declare, "Look out! The Lord will do amazing things among us." And we pray, Lord, that that will be precisely what happens through each and every one of us individually in the worlds that you have placed, in the spheres that you've given us influence, in our homes, in our places of work, in the schools where we learn, in the communities where we live. We pray that you would use each and every one of us to be expectant of what you are, our God, our help in ages 40 years past, that in 40 years hence, for as long as you grant this church opportunity to be the people of God, we pray that we will always look to you as our hope for things to come, an anticipation of what miraculous things you do, because wherever you are, Lord, amazing things happen. So we want to be with you. And we pray that our lives would be so prepared to follow you. And this we pray, Lord Jesus, with confidence, not in ourselves, but in you. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.